Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Joel chapter 2, we were looking in Joel 2, verse 14, at what it means when God returns and repents. Listen in today as we continue our study. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, should I say writing down the words the Holy Spirit gave him, is that he said that we are the offscouring, just like the stuff you scrape off a pan that's had the food burnt into it, you're the offscouring of this world. In other words, they look at you as yuck when you stand in Jesus Christ. And that's to be expected. Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us. So the god of this world is going to hate righteousness and true holiness. So when you walk that way, then you are on the Lord's side, but you are in the devil's territory and you have an enemy. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But in like manner, if you're suffering persecution, being accused falsely, Jesus said, and Jesus never lied, said, great is your reward in heaven. Now, he says it's great. My friend, it is great. So I hope that you will, just as they say, go to the bank with that one, because it's so, so true. In salvation and in rededication, the Lord says in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, come now and let us reason together. Now, I remember old President Johnson, when he was alive and was President of the United States, he'd say, as the prophet Isaiah said, come now and let us reason together. Well, no, that was the Lord that said, come now and let us reason together. Isaiah just wrote it down. So we're to come and reason together, the Lord says. But that reasoning is not God compromising anything of his holiness or person. It is not God meeting you halfway. Rather, it is God devising a way for us to have fellowship with him. Yes, to be reconciled to him, but it is his way, which is the only way. So let us look at this with that thought in mind of what it means when God returns and repents. So we read in verse 14 here of Joel chapter 2, who knoweth if he, speaking of God, will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Now, we must keep Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11 in mind. There we read this. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. Now understand, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So as he lives forever. And so what he's going to tell you here is a forever truth. So he says, as I live, thus saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now, you'll notice there, the eternal God, who is now giving us an eternal truth, says he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now, you may know some Calvinists, as I do, that are out there that, whether they listen to this broadcast or not, they say that God is the one that predestined men to sin, that predestined certain men after the fall of Adam to sin, and predestines them to go to hell. Now, since Revelation tells us that all things were created for his pleasure, that would simply mean this, is that God would get pleasure in the death of the wicked. So right here now we see that God contradicts himself. Now, by the way, God is not the author of confusion, and he's certainly not the author of sin. And he's an all-holy, almighty God. That's why he would have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and that's why he would not predestine people to be sinners and to go to hell. Because there's no pleasure in it for him. Now, I know that there are people that will get upset with that and tell me again that I need to read somebody that wrote books 200 years ago. Well, my friend, I'm not reading a book 200 years ago. I'm reading a book 2,000 years ago, and he got it right. Got it right. Matter of fact, that book took about 1,500 years to write anyway, and they got it right all the way from beginning to end without one error. And they preserved it all. Praise the Lord for that. And so, he calls us to repent. This is his way. This is what he wants. Also, we need to keep in mind Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. God says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. In other words, be zealous to repent shows that God receives no pleasure in chastening his own children. Now, many of you are like me. You spanked your children when they were young. I guess the statute of limitations are over since most of my children are in their 40s. But nonetheless, he requests you to zealously repent. There's no pleasure for the Lord in spanking his children, but he has a goal in spanking his children, and that is that his children walk in true harmony and righteousness with him and his word. Now, God's chastening hand is hard, but it offers hope with. But keep it in mind, Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, but over 100 years later, Nineveh repented of their repentance, and the result was total destruction of Nineveh. As any man who is saved can only be saved by grace, not by his merit, so too, it is God's great grace that allows the Christian to be relieved and escape even greater chastening by God. We're reminded of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 30 through 32. There we read, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, many at Corinth, and there's some come to the table drunk, some living in immorality, and some gossip, some of those sowing discord, which the Bible calls an abomination, using the same word for abomination that it uses of homosexuality. And so, you had all those things in coming to the Lord's table. And so as a result, some were sickly, others had died from that. And then he said in verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when you're judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So understand, God spanks his own, but he'd rather you see your sin and stop it before he has to spank. And when he sees that sorrow of heart for what we've done, then he's ready to let you go on in the right direction because you've got a repentant heart and you stop the sin. If we confess and forsake our sins, and then he will forgive us. That's the way he's always worked, and that's the way he will continue to work. Now, looking back to our text, we see, who knoweth if he will return and repent? Now, the implication is God will do a 180 turn in his intent to chasten, to judge. If we would judge ourselves. Do you see that? That's the idea there. If we would judge ourselves, then he wants to do it because he is someone who is righteous and he wants us to live righteously. That's the goal of his chastening, to stop that which is not righteous. Now, we wouldn't be judged of him if we will turn it around, repent. You see, God sees the heart. Now, you can turn on the tears and fool me, and you can fool me greatly, but you're not going to fool God. He sees the heart and knows whether or not the repentance is genuine. Hence, verse 13, he says, rend your heart and not your garment. So if he sees the heart is truly genuine and repentant because it has sinned against God, and God wants to repent, regardless if God withholds his chastening hand or not, he wants us to repent. Then we'll find that God will return to fellowship with you when we repent and forsake that sin. And you see, if we don't, then the chastening and the scourging that he gives is to help us to turn from our sin, to obtain forgiveness, that we might have fellowship with God. You see, we do that, we spank our kids so that they would stop the thing that caused the problem, and also they could be back in a right fellowship with us. Now, in Psalm 66, verses 17 through 20, we see here the Holy Spirit writes through the hand of the psalmist, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. But the Lord will hear me if I will repent. If I regard iniquity, the Lord will not hear me. Now, verse 19, he says, but verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to my voice, the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Now, isn't that great? Because not only God sees the heart, but when we repent, and we repent in our heart, we find that God forgives, he turns from the chastening, and he's showing mercy. I tell you, one of the great things that we should be most thankful for is the great mercy of God. Now, here it is. I'm recording this on November 30th of 2016, probably as late as I've ever recorded. I'm usually much further ahead than I am right now. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I'm a